DiscerningHearts.com presents Fountains of Grace, Reflections on Contemporary Spiritual Classics with Donna Garrett. In this particular series of episodes, Donna discusses with Father Daniel Brandenburg, Interior Freedom by Father Jacques Philippe. It is said that despite the most difficult situations that can restrain our physical movement, each person has deep inside a place of freedom that no external power can take away, because God Himself is its source. A person wins inner freedom to the extent that he connects to its source, God Himself, by practicing the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. These theological virtues are the center of the spiritual life. As the basis for interior growth, they become the source of the glorious freedom of the children of God. Written in a simple and inviting style, Interior Freedom, written by Father Jacques Philippe, seeks to liberate the heart and mind to enable it to live the true freedom to which God calls each one. We now begin Fountains of Grace, Reflections of Contemporary Spiritual Classics with Donna Garrett.
An excerpt from Interior Freedom by Father Jacques Philippe.
When we see ourselves with God's eyes, we experience tremendous freedom. It could be called a double freedom, to be sinners and to become saints. The freedom to be sinners doesn't mean we are free to sin without worrying about the consequences. That would not be freedom, but irresponsibility. It means we are not crushed by the fact of being sinners. We have a sort of right to be poor, the right to be what we are. God knows our weaknesses and infirmities, but He is not scandalized by them and doesn't condemn us. As tenderly as a father treats his children, so Yahweh treats those who fear Him. He knows what we are made of. He remembers that we are dust.
Father Philippe points out that it's when we fail to accept that we have weaknesses, our failure to accept that God loves us the way we are blocks the Holy Spirit from helping us. And he reminds us that it's by that invitation that we have to cooperate. And as much as God loves us, he doesn't force his love on us, because his love is free. So we have to freely accept it. And when we won't accept ourselves and don't believe deep down that we deserve God's love, then we block the Holy Spirit from working in our lives.
And there's another aspect here, which I think is, for our contemporary culture and American society today, is really profound about this message of God's unconditional love. You know, I think you find a lot of people today who turn away from Christianity because they think it's a, you know, it's a religion of rules and regulations and guilt and lots of expectations. And he has this really profound insight in page 38-39. He says the following: in social life, we experience constant tension about meeting other people's expectations of us, or what we imagine them to be. This can be an overwhelming burden. The world has turned its back on Christianity with its dogmas and commandments on the grounds that it is a religion of guilt. You know, and I think all of us have probably heard that at some time or another. Oh, you Catholic, good old Catholic guilt. Those phrases that people come up with. Father Jacques Philippe continues on: yet there's never been a time when people were so weighed down with guilt as they are today. Girls feel guilty for not being as beautiful as the latest fashion model. Men feel guilty for not being as successful as the inventor of Microsoft. And so it goes. The standards of success dictated by contemporary culture weigh on us much more heavily than the appeal to perfection made by Jesus. So it's really insightful here, because he's saying that, you know, in the world around us, there are all these expectations placed upon us, and it's only within the church that we find the way to, in a sense, be freed of those type of expectations, and yet at the same time to be elevated. Because Christianity doesn't leave us just to be, you know, be happy with the way we are. It's, you know, in a certain sense, I guess you could say that Christianity is the fulfillment of the Greek oracle at Delphi, which in Greek it was, know thyself, accept thyself, better thyself. It's really only through Christianity and through the power of Christ and through the freedom that he gives us through baptism and freedom from our sins that we really can truly accept ourselves because we are loved by God the Father and then begin the steps to better ourselves to become holy. I think it's so beautiful that Christianity really is the fulfillment of the aspirations of the human heart, even as presented by the ancient Greeks.
Following that, Father talks about that we're never imprisoned within our own mediocrity or forced into this resignation of being this imperfect person, but that there is always the hope of advancing in love, and that he says something so beautiful, God can make us sinners that we are into saints.
You know, sometimes, at least in my own spiritual life, when I first started off, you know, just before the seminary and then in the seminary, I began with a great idealism. Call to holiness, Lumen Gentium, chapter 6, universal call to holiness, I'm going to be holy, and a bit with the American mindset of, all right, what do I have to do? You know, tell me what I have to do, and then I'll do all those things, and I'll become holy. And I only realized after many years and banging my head against the wall, trying to be holy on my own, you know, what I should have known from the beginning, from the Gospels and from Catholic teaching, that it's not a matter of just of me pulling myself up by my bootstraps. It's God's grace. I have to collaborate with God's grace. And it's first and foremost and totally God's free gift of grace and his friendship. It's his unconditional love. And once I accept that, once I begin to work and collaborate with him, and in a sense, understand me correctly here, a healthy passivity, it's only then you really start to see some things change and be transformed within your life. And so we need that healthy passivity in order for the real changes on a deeper level to take place in our lives. I think if we're always in the driver's seat, say, trying to do everything that we can to be holy, we'll never be holy. We will always do, but we'll fall into one of those first heresies that has plagued the church ever since the time of Pelagius, and which St. Augustine fought so hard against, Pelagianism, which was the belief that basically we did not need God's grace, that man, by his own efforts, could become holy. I think that's a real temptation in American society today, because we have this dream of the self-made man, the self-made woman, and if I just do the right things, I can accomplish anything. Not in the order of grace.
Sometimes we tend to forbid ourselves some wholesome aspiration, some accomplishment, or legitimate happiness. A subconscious psychological mechanism makes us deny ourselves happiness out of a sense of guilt, or it may come from a false idea of God's will, as if we ought to deprive ourselves systematically of everything good in life. In either case, it has nothing to do with genuine spiritual realism and acceptance of our own limitations. God sometimes calls us to make sacrifices, but he also sets us free from fears and false sense of imprisoning guilt. He restores to us the freedom to welcome whatever good and pleasant thing he wants to give us in order to encourage and show us his tenderness.
Because you are a priest, I'm certain that you can relate to what I thought about when I read this, because Father talks about this tendency that we have to carry around this set of like limiting beliefs, and that they're the things that we keep because of our past wounds and our past fears and our past mistakes, that we limit the person that we can become. And I was thinking of it in terms of even participating in the sacrament of confession, and that for it took me a really long time, and sometimes I still struggle with this, that you go to confession and you know that God has forgiven you, but you as a human being haven't forgiven yourself. So you limit how much grace and blessings you can really absorb from that wonderful sacrament, because although God has forgiven you, you can't forgive yourself, so you don't really benefit from that wonderful gift that he wants to give to you. Father talks about how we can't really understand holiness properly until we understand it in the as a whole, that it's not just about our perfection, but that the fact that, well, he says, we don't all have in us the stuff of sages or heroes, but by God's grace, we do have the stuff to become saints.
Exactly. Well, certainly I have seen that dynamic played out time and time again in hearing confessions or in counseling or talking with people. And particularly, I think it's the case for women, even more so than men, when it comes to forgiving themselves, particularly when it's a profound wound. For example, one of the most profound wounds that can be in the heart of a woman is having carried out an abortion. And I've encountered that on many different occasions. And that wound goes very deep because a woman is made to protect, to nurture, to watch over life and defend it. When she acts against that, and with all the ideological stuff that we have in our world today, justifying it, saying it's just a blob of tissue, you have a right to choose, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, kind of bringing her to the point where she acts against what she knows in her deepest heart, later on, she, even though she may have that sin forgiven through confession, she still struggles to forgive herself. And what I've found in counseling or talking with people in confession, particularly for these deeper wounds, is they have to come to a point where they truly accept God's unconditional love. Because it's only through the experience of his divine love and a deeper, more intimate way in their own interior that they can let go. They can leave that to God. They can trust that he is not going to hold that against them, that he, in fact, has already forgiven them. And that is really a grace. It's not just an intellectual exercise. It's a grace that God gives, hopefully through the mediation of the priest in a helpful way in the sacrament of confession or in another moment. But God does have to act there, and the person has to accept that as well.
There's a two-way connection between being able to accept ourselves and being able to accept other people. And
very true.
And he talks about how it strengthens, that each strengthens the other, and that if we close our hearts against other people, then we never learn to be reconciled to them. We'll never have the grace then to have a deep reconciliation with ourselves. Instead, we will be perpetual victims of our own narrow hard-heartedness.
Exactly. And I think it goes with kind of our common human experience. You know, you look around and who are the people that bug you the most? Who are the people that get on your nerves? Oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes it's the people that are just like you.
Right.
The people who are struggling with the same issues that you have, maybe have the same personality, have the same defects, and you're looking at that person and saying, that is so annoying. But you don't put a finger on it until you start thinking about it and realize, why is that person annoying me so much? Oh, it's because they're just like me. It's just because they haven't overcome that thing that I'm trying to overcome too. So definitely, and I see this played out over and over again, when we do not accept ourselves and accept our own limitations so that we can be freed of those, of course, because God doesn't want us to stay in our sin. He wants us to be freed of our sins. If we do not accept the reality and do not accept ourselves and accept God's love for us, we won't be merciful towards others. We'll have a hard heart. That's one of the greatest insights that I've seen in the last 3 years, is that oftentimes people who are self-righteous, judgmental, it's because they haven't accepted God's mercy in their own life. On the contrary, when you meet people who have been through humiliating things, whether it's alcoholism or abuse or something like that, they tend to be much more merciful. And don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying merciful or compassionate in a false sense of, oh, let's all be nice and just get along with each other and be tolerant and just accept whatever comes along and pretend that there's no right or wrong. No, that's false tolerance. That's false compassion. But true compassion, that is mercy, which comes from the heart of God, who loves us as we are and loves us in such a way that we can be transformed, to leave behind our sin and truly be free.
Having looked at self-acceptance, we can now consider the acceptance of events. The basic principle is the same. We cannot change our lives effectively unless we begin by accepting them, welcoming them totally, and so consenting to all the external events that confront us. That isn't hard in the case of what we perceive as good, pleasing, and positive, but it is hard when any kind of setback or suffering is involved. In what follows, the things we find negative are generically called difficulties. The subject needs to be handled carefully. It is not a matter of becoming passive and learning to endure everything without reacting. But whatever projects we have, and however well we plan them, many times situations that are beyond our control involve a whole host of events contrary to our expectations, hopes, and desires occur, and we must accept it.
I feel that once we accept others and we accept ourselves, well, then we can go the step farther and we can accept things like suffering and things like limitations, especially suffering that's brought to us at the hands of somebody else.
That is a really difficult one. When other people inflict suffering upon us, because there's various stages to work through. There's the whole sense of injustice. There's the anger. And the deeper the hurt, the deeper that we have been wounded by someone else, the more difficult it is. And that's where we come again to one of the core themes of our Christian faith, which is forgiveness and the freedom that comes from forgiveness. In fact, you know, St. Paul, when he talked about freedom, there were principally four words that he used in Greek. And one of the four is aphesis, which means basically forgiveness of sins. And he describes freedom as the forgiveness of sins, precisely as the forgiveness of sins. So our freedom can't really be fully realized, can't be complete, unless we are forgiven and we forgive. And so when it comes to suffering that's inflicted upon us by other people, our freedom will always be circumscribed until we come to that point where we can actually forgive, we can let go, and we can leave that person, that situation in God's hands. The way I described it a couple years ago, I was talking to a woman who was still dealing with some serious issues of sexual abuse from when she was a girl, and she was going to different counselors and talking with different people, and some of that helped and some of it did not. But ultimately, what it came down to is I said, you know, if you're always picking at the wound, it's not going to heal. You got to come to a point where you can let the healing process begin. You can forgive and let that wound scab over and then heal. You know, the healing process in the soul is not all that different from the healing process in the body. It takes time. It takes the making sure that all the venom or the bacteria is removed from the wound, and then time, and let it sit. Don't be picking at it.
I think Father Philippe points this out, and I also want to point this out. Sometimes we have a skewed or can have a skewed vision of sufferings that are brought to us. Like, you know, we all have heard that old line, grin and bear it. Well, there's some great truth to smiling through your suffering, but we as human beings have to do those things that will enable us to heal. So if you have a headache, by all means, take a Tylenol. You know, you have, right. You're sick, go to the doctor and do what the doctor says. I mean, that's important. We need to do what we can to remedy the suffering as much as we can, but there's always going to be sufferings that have no remedies. And as a parent, some of the greatest sufferings is when you have children, or as a spouse, you love your spouse, and you have to see your child or your husband suffer, maybe at the hands of somebody else. Maybe it was somebody who mistreated your child or overlooked your child for an accomplishment that he truly deserved, you know, and it really made your child sad. For as a parent, you can get angry with the person for the person who hurt your child. And you can carry those frustrations and anger for the suffering of somebody else to the point where it imprisons you. And it prevents you from being an effective mother and a loving spouse because you're frustrated and angry because somebody you love is suffering and maybe suffering as you see unjustly.
Certainly. Yeah, that is very painful when you see the suffering that others have to go through that, and you seem powerless to do anything about it. In fact, I think that's one of the greatest sufferings for a parent. And what he talks about here, though, is you know, bringing in that element of consenting or embracing also into those situations. Now, obviously, many occasions we have a responsibility to act, to change a situation, to remedy ills that are taking place. You know, the church certainly doesn't teach that, you know, we should allow abuse to take place or that, you know, allow someone to be in a difficult situation, just grin and bear it or, you know, get over it. No. That is not a Christian approach. Certainly, there are many times where we do have to remedy a situation. But from an internal standpoint, as far as how do I react internally with what's going on, with the internal suffering, I think that's a dimension of human freedom which is very profound. In fact, I think Father Jacques Philippe is hinting upon something which Dietrich von Hildebrand brought out much more clearly in his writing on Christian ethics. He described a dimension of Christian freedom, which is our response to emotions. To emotions that come up within us, that surge up, whether it's anger or resentment or giddiness or the positive and the negative. How do we react to those emotions which just kind of spontaneously come in our interior? Because there are times when you might have been wronged by someone and the very sight of them just stirs up in your heart bile and you feel like reaching out and strangling them. Well, what von Hildebrand hints at, and also Jacques Philippe, is that part of our freedom is how we respond also to those emotions. How do I deal with those? Because we have to, in a Christian way, take a look at those and say, well, anger and resentment, that's not truly a Christian feeling. And so I might feel it. Okay, I accept that. It's the reality. But I also choose to love that person. Okay, so there's a dimension of freedom there which is also very, very profound.
You've been listening to Fountains of Grace, Reflections on Contemporary Spiritual Classics with Donna Garrett. Donna has been joined by Father Daniel Brandenburg discussing Interior Freedom by Father Jacques Philippe. To hear and or to download this discussion along with many others, go to discerninghearts.com. This has been a production of discerninghearts.com. Join us next time for Fountains of Grace, Reflections on Contemporary Spiritual Classics with Donna Garrett.